this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you by the good folks at the Apostles' Net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, and dare we say, an expanding universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. It is so good to have you back. We have so many things to talk about today, but the most exciting thing is we're coming to you from our new studios over on Stalker Street in the middle of Glendale, California, and it is a nice little room. There's very little decoration. Of course, the smoke-colored glass is still there, and Ken's sister Hayez waving over at me, and Susie, our producers here in the new studios in Glendale. I do you sense that there is like a new sound to this, or maybe is it my imagination? Well, I guess we'll be able to hear it in a few minutes when we broadcast this. You'll be the biggest judge telling us how you like it, if you notice anything different. But we do have some new studios, and I want to thank the Armenian Church Youth Ministries Parish Council for arranging this. And we do have a lease on this place, at least for the next few months. So let's see how it goes. I'll be interested to hear your comments. But hopefully we'll get used to it soon. It's kind of cold, if you ask me, but it is a studio, and we are expanding, and that's all thanks to your prayers. Thank you for your prayers and for listening in and tuning in. Well, we do have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about Christmas, and I want to thank you for all your feedback. I mean, that story about the Walmart, I guess it hit a lot of nerves. We got some good feedback about that and about Twilight. I even got a message about Twilight being talked about in other churches. And I'm glad we opened some doors. People were talking about really just the afterlife. And I heard both sides. I wanted to be honest with you. I heard some people that told me that, well, maybe we didn't need to go down that road, but most of it was very positive, and I'm encouraged by that positive feedback because, you know, a lot of times when we get into the Bible studies, people want me to do a 101 class, and, you know, you could just do 101 for how many years? Sometimes you need to get into the 300, 400 level, and I think that when we hit upon topics like this, it kind of brings a different audience and, of course, different dynamics at play. So thank you for your feedback on the Twilight thing. Well, today we're going to be talking about Christmas, some of the experiences that we've had. We're going to be looking at a passage that comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, where Jesus actually tells us what he wants for Christmas. Because remember when we started the entire Advent process, I made you a promise. I told you that if you listen to these podcasts, if you followed the Advent formula, or should we call it the prescription that is given to us in terms of Armenian Orthodoxy, you will find that when you get to Christmas Day, whether you celebrate on December 25th, on January 6th, or if you're like me and celebrate just about every day of the year, you will be able to really understand Christmas in terms beyond the Mary, beyond the Christmas. In other words, it will have a unique meaning. Maybe, possibly, the meaning that it did back in the early centuries. And speaking of that, I've got to tell you this incredible story that happened to me last Saturday. Let's cue up a little bit of Christmas music because I think this is a fun little story I want to tell you. So last Saturday night, we were on a truck, of all things, in the middle of Montrose. Now, Montrose is one of these small little towns right outside of Glendale. So if you look on a map of America, there's California and there's Los Angeles. Right next to Los Angeles is this town called Glendale, which is like half of the population of its population is Armenian, or should I say that half of the the world's population of Armenians happens to be in Glendale. Well, right above it is, to the north of it, up in the hills, is a town called Montrose, and they have this Christmas parade. So for how many years we've been going there and being part of that, being part of the local landscape, so to speak. Let them know that, yeah, we Armenians are out there and we have a church that's doing some incredible stuff. And so this year, one of our Sunday school parents had arranged for a truck. And we got on this truck and just incredible because we had like, what are those hay bales that the cows and that you find inside of barns. And so we set up the back end, the flatbed truck, we set it up as a small little barn, and we had a couple of our parents who had just had a little baby a couple months ago. We had them dress up as Mary and Joseph, and of course the baby was baby Jesus. So there we were in the middle of Montrose with the Holy Family. Now, all around them are a bunch of Sunday school kids dressed up as angels and shepherds and of course, us adults dressed up as adults. And we're on this truck going down the boulevard, and people are lined up on the boulevard, and you hear all kinds of people yelling and screaming, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, and all the rest. You hear the marching bands in the background. We happen to be right in front of a band that was just drums. That's it, just drums. And they're going, brrr. They're playing away and everything. And we're trying to outdo them with our singing. And well, you know who won that battle. But in the midst of all this commotion, I looked over at the Holy Family, and there were husband, wife, and child, and their older daughter was with them too. So basically you had a Holy Family of four, but dressed up as Mary and Joseph and of Jesus, of course. And they just had the most calm, the calmest expression you could imagine. In the middle of all of that, they were just sitting there, like looking around and enjoying the scene, enjoying their new baby, and having the baby cling to mom and the older sister cling to dad. And I just thought for a moment, you know, it's probably not much different than what it was like in that first manger, in that first barn, where Mother Mary, Joseph, and little baby Jesus were just sitting and absorbing the scene. I mean, here is the most precious thing on earth. If you want to think about it, that's the first church. That was the first church. Christian church. There's Jesus being born and people coming and worshiping. And you could just imagine Mary sitting there, and this incredible gift of life had been given to her. And Joseph, the amazement of his faith in action, of believing that this child was from the Holy Spirit, and his focus on the baby. And all around them, there's like kings bringing incense and kings bringing like oil and gold and shepherds and their sheep and all kinds of commotion all around them. But the focus of the Holy Family is on that new gift, the gift of life. And I just felt that in the middle of this parade, going through modern America with all the store lights and everything like that, this little family allowed us to focus in on really what was really important, the feast of that day, which was Christmas. And to me, that was just one more reminder of what this is all about. You know, we get together and we need opportunities. Whether you're talking about icons, whether you're talking about incense or lighting candles or focusing in on a few models dressed up as Mary and Jesus. They are just opportunities for us to really take a break from everything that's going on in our lives, in this disaster that we call, a circus, which we call a disaster. And we get together and we say, oh, I have no time. I'm so stressed. I can't keep up. I've got to do this and that. You know, you need to just slow down, take a breath, and look at the beauty that is all around you, as this Mary and this Joseph did. I hope you noticed that I've been playing some Christmas carols for you in the background. I love Christmas carols, and there's probably not enough time. If I had my way, I would just do a podcast where it'd be a couple hours of just playing all my favorites. I would love to do something like that. But of course, I'm not going to do that. You have many, many opportunities to hear Christmas carols, but I am playing some in the background to sort of pacify my urges right now to just share this moment with you, this beautiful Christmas season. You know, when you think about these Christmas carols, it's just beautiful time to really reflect on all that God has given us. I know times are difficult right now. I know the days are getting more and more difficult. President-elect Obama here in America told us recently, says, before it gets any better, it's going to get worse. And you could just kind of see it coming. You know that the unemployment numbers are there, and it's very easy to talk about these things when you do have a job, when you do have food on the table. And I know there's a lot of people struggling right now. But those Christmas carols are, in a sense, our way of connecting with hope, you know, and that's what music does. That's what all of art should do. It should connect us to something greater than ourselves. We're going to be talking in a few minutes about the upcoming Gorma Khitaryan Mariam Matossian concert, but you know, the reason why we do that as part of our ministry is to be able to connect to something higher than ourselves, and certainly Christmas carols give us that opportunity. You know, last Sunday we got together throughout the world and commemorated the 20th anniversary of the earthquake which took place in Armenia. And I say this because, yes, it is kind of ethnically based, and I know that when we talk about Orthodoxy, Armenian Orthodoxy, we're taking it to a different level. But it is very important because here again you find a group of people, despite all the difficulties that come their way, coming back to their faith. And it was interesting because in our particular church, we had Gor Mkhitaryan play a couple songs. And at the very end, he wanted to do his rendition of the Lord's Prayer, Hail Mer. And it was interesting because the minute he started, you couldn't keep people down. and people automatically rose and started singing along. And it just reminded me of how beautiful prayer and music are to the soul. It gives you that opportunity to really forget, sort of like the Holy Family, to be able to stand up and focus on what is important rather than on the grief that is all around you. Hey, I'd like to play that song for you right now. This is the Lord's Prayer, which we could say lyrics by Jesus and music, a rendition by Gaur Mkhitaryan from his latest CD called The Spirit. That, of course, was the Lord's Prayer, a rendition by Gaur Mkhitaryan. It appears on his newest CD called Spirit, which will be debuting on December 18th. And we'll talk a little bit later about how to get tickets and how to be there. It is just incredible. In fact, this morning, our producer Susie made some arrangements to give you, our podcast listeners, a special edge on that. And I'll tell you about it towards the end of this podcast. But in the meantime, you know, music has to stir the soul, and it does in different ways. There's different types of music, and I always think that all of art, not just music, all of art is truly a gift given to us by God. And it is a gift. It is a gift that is given to certain people who have that talent and are able to transmit that to us. And we should feel very fortunate that we have the ability to see it, to listen to it, to enjoy it. This is really where we have the opportunity to rise to the occasion, to rise from our humanness to that higher level. And I say that because we're getting to the point of Christmas. And when we talk about Christmas, we talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. And we have so many different icons. By icon, I mean different figures in front of us that point to Christmas, whether it's a Christmas tree, or whether it's the sale in the store, or whether it's a solemn prayer, or a Christmas carol. They point to Christmas Day, to the Christmas event. But have you ever stopped to wonder for a moment that if this is really the birthday of Jesus Christ, shouldn't we be getting him a gift? Yeah, like no duh. You go to a birthday party, you take the person a gift. This is Jesus' birthday, Merry Christmas, and we give out gifts. Well, shouldn't we be giving a gift out to him? It reminds me of that pastor. Remember, there was that story of like he said that, oh, yeah, I give our gifts, our offerings to God. And he takes it and he puts it on a big springboard. And he takes all this money, dollar bills and change. And he takes this big springboard and he leaps it up to heaven. And he throws all the money up to God. And he says, God, take whatever you want, send back the rest. And I think a lot of times we think that God doesn't need the gifts. So we give out gifts to one another in kind of like make up a story about like, well, you know, we're doing this to remember that Jesus was the original gift and everything. Actually, if you think about the idea of this being Jesus' birthday party, you would have to give him the gift. And you say, well, what would God need? Like, you throw up money to him, and is he going to take the money? Well, no, he's not going to take that. But did you know in the Bible, it tells us what Jesus wants for his birthday? And that's going to be the lesson today for this period of Advent, because it was the lesson given to us by the church fathers in the lectionary reading came to us from Luke chapter 14. Okay, this passage comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, and it is from the 14th chapter. Interestingly enough, Jesus has been invited to an event, and he's talking to the person who invited him. In fact, the narration goes like this. Jesus said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen, or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Wow. There's a formula for you. I mean, how come people don't talk about this when they talk about Jesus and about being a Christian? Why is it so important to people that they get into heaven and other people will be excluded from heaven? Why is it so important for people to say that we're one way or another way? Jesus is saying in no uncertain terms, this is what I want. You want to be a Christian? You want to celebrate Christmas? This is what I want. I want you to invite people to a banquet. And at that banquet, I don't want you to invite people who can invite you back. And listen to what he says. He says, don't invite your rich neighbors. Holy moly. I mean, like, have you been to some of these church events? I mean, who are the people who get invited? Oh, okay, stop. I know, I'm not supposed to go in that direction. But I'm talking about us. I mean, think about what we do around Christmas time. We have office pools, office parties. And sometimes we say, well, we can't buy gifts for everybody, so let's pick names. I'm not going to give a gift to everybody, but I will spend a little bit more and give to the person that I picked their name. And you know what I'm going to get? Because it can't possibly mean anything because, you know, like we don't want to get a little too heavy around Christmas time. I mean, think about all these traditions we have. Even when somebody gives us a gift, I know, it's just crude to say. You don't look at the price tag, you don't think it, but somewhere deep in your mind, you've kind of like worked it out that if this is in the $25 to $30 category, you're not going to go out and spend the $50 to $60 category item. Okay, we even it out. We play these number games. We play these games around an event called Christmas. Christ's birthday. And he's saying, listen, you want to organize a banquet for me? He says, this is what I want. Invite people who have no way of paying you back. He says, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Think about that. He's saying you're going to get an incredible gift, bigger than anything you've ever imagined. You are going to get something in return that you possibly can't imagine, because that's not the reason you did it. You see, you don't do the good things because you're going to get something in return. We got to get out of that idea. You do the good things because it's the good thing to do. Because you're good. Because your heart is good. Because you know that it's right. And the Christian has to always look at life in those terms. This passage to me is so important because coming out of the background that I come out of, where my people, as Armenians, have never had anything. They've been the lame, the poor, the maimed, the blind, figuratively speaking and physically. People have reached out. People have helped. People that we could never possibly have repaid did it. Sometimes when I look at my situation here in America, the idea that the United States opened its doors to my grandparents, or in the Middle East, that those countries that today we sometimes talk about as those backward Middle Easterns and everything, these were the countries that opened their doors and opened their arms to a generation that was lost out in the deserts. And these people said, come, what possibly can we pay them back with? How can we possibly pay them back? Well, you can. You can in the same way we pay back God. You see, because God gave us the bigger gift. He gave us a gift that there is absolutely no way on earth that you could pay him back with. You can't get up enough money. You can't get enough tools. You can't get up enough items and goodies and candy bars and food or whatever you want to do to pay back God, because he gave his only son and he said, this is it. I give him to you because you have absolutely no way of making it unless you follow the instructions that he's going to be giving you. And his instructions are so easy. It's basically living the life that he lived, loving, caring, sacrificing. And so when he says, give me a gift, this is the gift that I want, due to people who can't do it back to you, it's because he did it first. He gave us a gift that we can't possibly pay him back for. And he says, now do the same thing. So instead of buying that ashtray for Uncle Joe, who's probably moving a little slow, or instead of buying those Cuban cigars for Uncle Ricky, or how about those that makeup case that you're going to get for Auntie Jill, and how about those high heels, ooh, that's going to make her look so good for Christmas, Christ's birth. How about if we turned it around and said, I'm going to do something for somebody who has absolutely no way of paying me back. You know what? There's some kids that are sitting around in shelters on Christmas morning. And you know what they've seen? Not only themselves being beaten, but they've watched their mothers be beaten. And they're sitting in a shelter with their mom, and they don't know whether it's Christmas or, you know, 4th of July. For them, It's just one more day that they have to get through. What does Jesus say? Do it for the maimed, the poor, the lame, the blind. Or how about the people in jail right now? Without being judgmental of whose fault it is or whose fault it isn't, how about just look at their situation? Being locked up, being isolated. How far would a letter from you go? How far would your kindness go if you just took the time to say, I'm going to write a letter to somebody? You know, it's a gift that you can't put a price tag on because it requires your time. It means you're going to have to make the time. It means you're going to have to wake up early one morning if you can't find any other time, or you're going to have to go to bed late. It means one less movie, one less show. But it's doing something for somebody who has absolutely no way of paying you back. That's what it's about. That's what Christmas is really about. That's what the Christ gift is. St. Luke continues this passage. He says, one of them who sat at the table with him heard this. He said to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for all is now ready. And they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I pray you, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. I pray you, please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported this to the master. Then the householder in anger said to his servant, Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has already been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways, to the hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited shall taste my banquet. Interesting story here, huh? A small little parable attached to this great banquet, to the gift of Jesus, to the Christmas gift story. It's an interesting story, an interesting parable that has been placed at the end of the Jesus gift story. And it's interesting because you realize that you really can't, contrary to what people tell you about how you have rights, in this case, you can't have it your way. Sorry, Burger King, it just doesn't work out that way. There is an invitation given to you by God to come to a banquet like none other. A banquet where he wants you to sit at his table. And you can't make up excuses, whatever grand excuse it may be. It would be like getting an invitation today that says, come to my wedding, the wedding of Jack and Jill, and it takes place on February 17th at the All Saints Episcopal Church. And there will be a reception following at the Sur la Table. And you look at that invitation and you say, well, you know what? I can't make it on February 17th, but I can make it on the 16th. Or you know what? I don't really like the Episcopal Church. I think I'll just go to St. Peter's Catholic Church that day. Or you know what? 7:30 is kind of inconvenient for me, but how about if I come in at 9 o'clock? Or better let you know, Sur la Table doesn't serve good food, but I do like those sandwiches over at Susie's Diner. Like, just imagine for a moment how ridiculous that sounds. And do you realize that we do that constantly? When God has given his table, When God has set up his banquet and he wants you to be sitting at that table, don't make excuses. It's already ready for you. Because in your place, there's enough people that should be sitting there, that will be sitting there. I think this is a point that every one of us during the season of Advent have to take at heart as being expressed and talked exclusively to us. It is so easy to make an excuse to God. But I'll tell you what's even easier, to say yes to God. It's not a hard decision. It's understanding that with God, all things are possible. It's understanding that with God, you can rise to the occasion. You can be the person that you want to be. You can do the things that you want to be, because with God on your side, you've got the biggest army. You've got the biggest force playing on your side. And Christmas is one more time where God's saying, you better believe it. I gave you the very best, not second best. I didn't go out there and pull together a couple different gifts as a last minute thought, but I picked out the best gift that I could give you. I didn't go to the bargain basement area and say that, well, you know, you gave me a gift that was worth this much. I could afford to give you this much of a gift. No, I gave you my own son. I gave you the very best. And that banquet, that table, has been set up for you. We make all kinds of excuses throughout our lives. You know, it's kind of humorous that in the gospel passage, they use these three examples of building a house, of buying ox, or getting married. I mean, like, think about getting married being equivalent to buying ox. Well, of course, it was at that time, but you'd hate to admit that today. But the idea is not about a wife. It's not about oxen or building houses or building roadways or anything else. It's about making the excuse. And in church life, in your life, you know God is talking to you. And you don't need to be hit over the head to wake up to that call. You know when he's talking to you, and you know when he's not talking to you. You feel it inside of you. But it's sometimes easy to ignore. But listen to me real carefully. If you weigh it out, it's even easier to say yes to God. That's why I think Christmas is such a beautiful time of year. Because we realize how easy it is. We realize that God has given us that gift. And really, for the price of a Christmas carol, for the price of a smile, for the price of a hug, we can basically own Christmas. We can say, Christmas is for me. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. That this period of Advent and these messages, these unique messages, how they prepare us for the feast of Christmas, Theophany, the revelation of God. So that when we say Merry Christmas, when we say Jesus is born, it begins to have a meaning of not an event that takes place in history, but an event that keeps taking place in our lives, a Jesus being born, love being born in our lives. And that's where we're being pointed. So follow along these messages of Advent. And like I said, I promise you, when we get to Christmas, it will have a special meaning for you this year. Before going any further, I do want to talk about an event that took place in the world of Eastern Orthodoxy, or Big Orthodoxy, as opposed to what we're doing over here. You know, at the beginning of the show, we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy. It's basically a phrase we've coined to describe ourselves as opposed to the bigger movement of Eastern Orthodoxy. And not necessarily along the lines of Armenian church, so to speak, the structure of the church, or what's been commonly called the Armenian Apostolic Church. And basically what we've set up here as Armenian Orthodoxy, quote unquote, is the faith minus the corruption. In other words, those things that don't belong in it. Getting back to the bare essentials of what the message was all about. But when you do talk about Orthodoxy, most times people's mind goes to Russian, Greek, or the big Orthodox faiths. And of course, this week, the Russian Orthodox Church had a loss of their spiritual leader, the Patriarch Alexei. And I know that the Armenian Catholicos, His Holiness Karakin II, was in attendance of the funeral, as were many, many world leaders, church leaders, and this was a loss for the Orthodox Church, and in particular, the Russian Orthodox Church. I think what's interesting, and I want to note, especially for people looking into Orthodoxy, is you get this glimpse of a church or Christianity in a different form. I think it's important because so many times in the West, we perceive Christianity as the men in suit and tie and a Bible under their arm, and you fail to see all the, let's say the bells and whistles. You don't see the Eastern side of things that is more mystical, more liturgical, that has the beautiful robes and the smoke of the incense and the lights of the candles and bringing all of the senses, that holistic approach to life and religion. And so this week, with the passing of Patriarch Alexei, we say a special prayer that God rest his soul and grant comfort to all of the people who do mourn him. Also this week, as I mentioned earlier, we did remember the passing of the 25,000 to 30,000 Armenians 20 years ago during the Armenian earthquake, 1988 it was. And I spoke about that in more detail last week in this podcast. And then Monday, December 8th, I was listening to the radio and I heard some clips from December 8th, 1980. And it was a reminder that, yes, we were standing at the anniversary of John Lennon's death. And you talk about a hero, somebody who was able to articulate the voice, the consciousness of a generation of people talking about peace, an anti-war sentiment. And it was a very important voice that unfortunately has been squelched and even more tragically is no longer finding avenues of expression. In other words, we're not talking about peace as much as we should be. I mention this because, again, here we are standing on the eve of the birth of the Prince of Peace. And every Christian, every church leader, anybody who dares to call himself Christian needs to be talking about this message of peace. I'd like to play for you a song. It's written by Paul McCartney. It's called Some Days. And I got to warn you, it is a heavy song, but it's a very special one for me. I hope you enjoy it. On this occasion of John Lennon's passing, of the earthquake tragedy, of Alexei, and some of the greats that need to be remembered in our lives.
Some days I look at you with eyes that shine. Some days I don't believe that you are mine. It's no good asking me what time of day it is, who won the match or scored the goal. Some days I look, some days I look into your soul. Sometimes I laugh to think how young we were. Sometimes it's hard to know which way to turn. Don't ask me where I found that picture on the wall, how much it cost or what it's worth. Sometimes I laugh to think how young we were. We don't need anybody else to tell us what is real. Inside each one of us is love, and we know how it feels. I cry for those who live in fear. Some days I don't remember why I'm here. No use reminding me, it's just the way it is. Who ran the race or came in first? Some days I cry for those who fear the worst. We don't need anybody else tell us what is real. Inside each one of us is love, and we know how it feels. Some days I look at you with eyes that shine. Some days I don't believe that you're. It's no good asking me what time of day it is, who won the match or scored the goal. Some days I look into your soul.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that song as well as all the other goodies that we played for you throughout this podcast. Some of the background music we were playing were from Jethro Tull's Christmas album, as well as Liz Story's The Gift album, and a few other small little Christmas carols, which I'm sure you recognized along the way. Also, we had featured today, the Lord's Prayer. And that gives me an opportunity to remind you, December 18th, that's next Thursday, is the Gor Mkhitaryan special In His Shoes concert. And that is the Spirit concert, where you get to hear not only the Lord's Prayer, not only all of the songs that you've been enjoying throughout these past few weeks, throughout the Advent season, but you'll be hearing the entire new Spirit album, and you'll be able to purchase it for Christmas delivery. Take it and give it to your friends. In fact, I got to tell you that we were talking earlier about giving gifts that people can't pay you back for. I can't tell you enough. You give this gift, they won't be able to pay you back. I mean, it is such an incredible Spirit-filled album. The entire concert, which will also feature Mariam Matossian coming out from the East Coast and playing that same night. I mean, it is a night that will long be remembered. If you're not there, it will be something that people will say, you really missed a good one. In fact, Susie, I told you earlier, has made a deal with the promoters over there, and I'm going to be telling you right now, if you make your reservations on itsmyseat.com, just go to itsmyseat.com, and in the special promotions box at checkout or somewhere along the way, if you put in the word podcast, you'll be able to buy two tickets for the price of one. I mean, look at that. It's your way of taking a loved one, of giving a special gift out this Christmas season. I mean, think about it. Be a little bit original. Take your loved ones and say, here is your Christmas gift. They don't have to know about the half price deal. But listen, you just put in podcast and you'll be able to buy one ticket and get the second one free. And this is a special promotion for all you Next Step listeners. So take advantage of that. That's December 18th at Zipper Hall in beautiful Los Angeles Civic Center, right across from the Disney Center. Information about that concert, as well as all of our activities, are available at inhisshoes.org. And of course, if you go to epostle.net, you can get a copy of this podcast as well as every other podcast, and there's an opportunity to send us some feedback too. Let us know what you feel. Tell us about your feelings, about your thoughts about this podcast, and of course, if you want to support us, we can use it. You can support us by your donations and, more importantly, by your kind prayers and generous thoughts. So for all of the gang over here, for Susie, our producer, for Haya, who is substituting for one more week. This is it. Well, Haya, thank you very much for being with us. And next week we get Ken back from the Fijis. So for the entire gang at Next Step, this is Father Boskin. Looking forward to taking the next step with you again.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.